You're listening to the Winter Interview Series on the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, brought to you by Exmark Manufacturing. 30 years of pioneering spirit and innovation have resulted in legendary durability, all-day comfort, and unmatched cut quality. Go check them out at Exmark.com. And Crest Commercial, introducing the 8-Minute Cyber System, the industry's first truly game-changing innovation in commercial battery-powered OPE. Professional landscapers can now replace their gas-powered equipment without sacrificing performance, power, or runtime. For more information or to find a Crest dealer near you, visit Crest.com. You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, the weekly show sharing proven methods and systems in marketing, equipment, and customer service, educational and motivational, to help make your lawn care business an overwhelming success. Now, here's your host, Julio Tomei.
Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei, and this is episode number 451, entitled Interview with Ryan Zimmerman from Zimmer Landscape and Mowing LLC. Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me this week on another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. Really appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week, and of course, for those questions, comments, and feedback that you guys have been sending through. I really do appreciate that. Just a quick note, we're getting close to the end of this winter interview series for this year. Spring is just around the corner, and I will be back to doing my weekly mows, but there still is time to get on the podcast if you like, to share your story. Best way to do that is just to reach out to me. If you follow me on Instagram, just send me a DM. You can head on over to the website as well, and lawncarebusinesssuccess.com, and use the contact page there. Alternatively, if you look through the podcast show notes, there's a link there to send a voicemail message, and you can do that as an option as well. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome this week's guest to the show, Ryan Zimmerman. Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. Thanks for taking the time out to come onto the show.
Not a problem at all.
Awesome.
Pleasure, really.
So let's dive right into it. So maybe tell us a little bit about yourself and your business.
Well, my name is Ryan Zimmerman, and I own Zimmer Landscape and Mowing. I'm actually 19 years old, and this is actually only my second year in business. So I started the business whenever I was 18, right out of high school. The story how I got the business is actually a little unorthodox, I guess. I never cut a lawn until probably 3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So I don't have the normal story where, you know, I've been doing it since I was a little kid. My dad always mowed our lawn. It was never really something I thought I would get into, but I was always really keen on business. Throughout high school, I did lots of research, and I took many business classes, and it was always really something I was interested in. So I knew I wanted to get into some business related thing. Mm-hmm. And I worked all throughout high school, and I saved up all my money, and a really big opportunity came right after I graduated. My choir director, I was in choir all through high school, and my choir director, he had like a little side job lawn care business, you know, maybe for 5 years. He just did it on the side. And he was actually moving to Chicago, and he wanted to kind of partner up with me and do some kind of partner program where I was going to work it for him while he was gone. We were going to split some of the profit. And that nothing was wrong with that, but I decided to ask him if he would be willing to sell the business to me. And we negotiated for a while, and I actually ended up buying the full business from him at the end of my senior year. And I rebranded it to my name. And the rest was, I guess, history. That was last year, and this is my second year doing it. So
that's awesome.
That's pretty much the story.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Actually, a lot of similarities there. When you talk about, you know, being very interested in business, that is kind of my MO. I've started and tried many different businesses before kind of landing on lawn care as the one mm-hmm. that kind of fit for me. Literally, I have a laundry list of past businesses that I have done and started and tried and all that.
I tried lots of little ones as well. Throughout I'm not I'm pretty young, so I guess I didn't have that. I don't have that much time where I could have done anything. But I mean, the last 3-4 years, I tried many other things. And if you would have asked me 3 years ago if I'd be mowing lawns as a business, I probably would have thought that was insane. Because at that point, I don't think I'd even ever mowed a lawn. So it just was a great opportunity, and I took it, and I learned pretty fast, and here we are.
Yeah. It's pretty neat hearing that part of it as well. I'm similar in that I didn't mow my lawn as well until I was an adult and bought my first house. And that's when I started mowing growing up. My dad always mowed the lawn. He never asked for help doing it. I'd watch him and pick up some tips and stuff just from watching him. But it wasn't something that I did growing up. And then the other thing that's very similar is you are a fellow choir singer. That's all through elementary school. I sang in the choir.
I did show choir specifically.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I don't know if you're familiar with show choir. It's not everywhere in the world, but yeah, I did show choir in high school.
Okay, what exactly is what's the difference between
show choir? Is like I guess you know what a musical is, where people like they sing, and so it's just singing and dancing together, kind of like a show.
Okay,
so you usually have a theme. Let's say I think my senior year theme for our show choir was Joker and Harley Quinn. So it was like, you know, you're kind of telling that story just through song and dance, and that's what it is.
Okay.
Really awesome.
Very cool. That's pretty cool. I was just in regular choir through elementary school and high school, and I sang in the church choir and stuff like that growing up until I got married, and then that's when I kind of hung up my
kind of died out.
Yeah, didn't have as much time anymore to
No, I love music. Definitely a big part of my life. I wish it wasn't so hard to do something musically, but it's just, there's not really many outlets for that.
Yeah. It's difficult to get into to doing stuff like that. So with the lawn care business, now your second year in, is the lawn care business your main income, or is it just like a side hustle and you've got another job?
So it is my main income, and I definitely do it full time. I bought the business. And it was probably, when I bought the business, he was only doing it part-time. So it was definitely a part-time job when I first bought it. But I mean, I don't like to toot my own horn, but I feel like, you know, when it comes to marketing and stuff, I seem to have a keen skill at it. And I actually was managed to double the clientele from when I bought it to now, which has only been maybe a year. And now it's definitely not only full-time, but this year I'm having to bring on a second guy.
Okay, very cool. So what was it with that part of it? Like you said, you grew up, you didn't, you know, ever mow a lawn, and, you know, you were interested in business, but you weren't necessarily thinking about lawn care. So you got introduced to it by the choir director, kind of helping him out initially. So when was that sort of moment doing it that you thought, I could do this as, you know, my own gig sort of thing, where you start to see that potential? What was it about lawn care?
Well, right after senior year, he had asked me, right after I graduated, we kind of had a talk, and he had asked me if I would come on and if I could be kind of a partner. I mean, I was still like an employee, but he was offering me like an hourly rate, also like a percentage of profit, because I was going to be doing all the work and he was going to be, you know, many states away.
Okay.
He said he would be doing like the back end stuff, maybe the marketing, and I'd be doing all the front work. So it was kind of going to be a partnership, but I don't know. I didn't really like it that much. No, nothing against him at all, but I felt like I'd probably be doing a lot more work than maybe we had thought we.
Yeah.
I don't think the work was going to be split as much as maybe he thought it was going to be.
Okay.
I think I was going to be doing a lot more. So I talked to my dad and some other smart people that in my life, and I think I just kind of shot out that I offered to buy it from him, and I wasn't very surprised when he said yes, went to selling it. Mm-hmm. And we worked out a number, and after I crunched all the numbers, you know, after I figured out how much the business is making and, all that stuff, it was a really good investment. I mean, he gave it to me it was a good price, just cause we had known each other and we were friends. So it wasn't really just like buying a stranger's business. So it was a good price, and since I am so involved in just business stuff and that's what I like, you know, I just kind of see it as a good investment. Like I'll make my money back inevitably, and it'll be in profit mode from there. Mm-hmm. I kind of see it as just like it's just a business like any other, and it was a good opportunity. So I took it. It could have been anything. It could have been car detailing. If the numbers would have worked out right for me, it would have been a good opportunity.
Mm-hmm. So how did you, cause this is a great sort of diving off point, as a, you know, a young guy with no previous experience, going into it, how did you kind of do your due diligence in terms of figuring out what a fair price to offer him would be from your perspective? Cause I'm sure obviously he probably would have had an initial price and you guys probably went back and forth a little bit. So how did you kind of factor in, like, what did you do to figure out what you thought it was worth?
So my grandpa, my dad, they're actually business owners here in the city I live in. My dad owns a few bars, and my grandpa, he's done lots of things in his life. He's very successful, business wise. So I obviously went to them and they helped me work out some numbers. We pretty much just factored in. I was buying all of his equipment.
Okay.
So just the bare price for that was in the agreement. And also he had a number of clients, which, looking back on it, we kind of don't think that I should have paid for the clients because, you know, they were just verbal agreements, nothing in writing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in retrospect, you can always look back and want to change things. But I did end up paying a hefty price for the clients that he had at the time. So we just kind of looked at how much income the business brought in every year. And I think I pretty much bought the business for what it makes in a year.
Okay.
Plus the equipment. And that was really the numbers we came to.
Okay.
He was kind of high starting out. The number he came to was a lot higher than the number we ended up at, but we came to an agreement and it was a really good deal. And that's why I'm doing it now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's awesome. It's great to hear a perspective like that, what people are kind of thinking about. I tell the story all the time about, you know, when I first got started, I bought into a franchise system, and the story with that initial guy, the franchise is out of Australia, and it's massive in Australia. If you go there, there's these franchise everywhere. You see the trailers everywhere, and it's gotten so big that there's multiple divisions now. It's not just mowing, it's concrete work and dog grooming and all sorts of stuff all under this brand name under different divisions. But when that guy started, he started out as a single guy mowing lawns, and he would make a route, and he would get so full, like so many clients, that he couldn't do them all. So then he would package some and sell them off as a turnkey business for somebody else to get into. And he started doing that, and then he started thinking, well, you know, why don't I like turn this into a franchise instead of just selling it one time? I can franchise it, and then I get reoccurring income each month from franchise fees and stuff like that, and do it under the umbrella. But so it's kind of
really
neat to
smart,
hear.
It's a smart business model.
Yeah, it's kind of neat to hear, you know, that sort of, because it's kind of a same similar thing where you're kind of going in and figuring out and buying a business that's already established instead of starting from scratch. And there is always that risk because, like you said, there was no
contracts and stuff. It took every bit of money that I'd saved up since I was 15 working normal jobs to do that. And it was definitely risky, but we looked at the numbers a lot and it didn't really seem like there was a way to fail. So that's really the most important part. I would never take a risk that, you know, wasn't too guaranteed. I wouldn't recommend anybody, you know, risk too much.
Mm-hmm. So how did you guys plan out sort of that transition? Did he make introductions for you with the clients and all that sort of stuff?
It really wasn't as much as I had liked. Really, all he did was when I bought the business, it was under a different name and I didn't like it. So I wanted to rebrand it to my name because I've always liked my last name. So I wanted my business to probably have something to do with that. So we had to do a little bit of a rebrand. So all he really did was sent out a group text to all the clients just saying this change is happening. And to my luck, there was no backlash. I kept every client between the switch, and it was everything worked out in that way.
Awesome. That's that sounds pretty smooth. You hear of a lot of guys when they do something like that, Setting up something like, going along with the previous owner for maybe the next few mows and doing like personal introductions and all that sort of stuff to kind of get the clients comfortable. So it's interesting to see that he just sent a text out and you did a full rebrand at the same time and it all worked out.
The thing really was at that time I was working for him. So I was already at all the properties mowing.
Oh, okay. So that's
really all. Yeah, so it was able to be really smooth because he pretty much just said, nothing's changing. It's just going to be a new name. That's really all that we had to change.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense then. I was thinking in my head when you were saying that, I was like, man, this kid's brave. Let's just like buy a business and have the guy just send out a group text and that's it, right? I was just confused on the timing, I guess, that you had.
It was super smooth. Yeah. I just kept going like I was before and just, he was out of the picture.
Yeah. So how's it now 2 years later? Do you still have all the clients? Did you lose some? Have you grown since?
So a lot of things came up when I bought the business. I went through a lot at the first few months only because I don't have a lot of lawn experience. I had to get a lot of it really fast, basically. Because I jumped into this pool of, I'm a business owner now. Mm-hmm. I have all these clients that expect certain things. And, mowing lawns isn't rocket science, but there are definitely things I had to learn. It started off really bad because I think when he priced all of his lawns, it was just all wrong. It was really bad, really. The first year was pretty miserable. So when I moved into this year, I raised the prices and I was really nervous to do that, but everyone was super okay with it. The big problem was he was charging the same for weekly lawn maintenance versus biweekly lawn maintenance. It was the same price. And I ran into a problem where all these biweekly lawns were becoming super long compared to the weekly lawns. And so it was taking double the time to cut them. And I was making, the price was the exact same for the weekly lawns that were super easy to cut because they were well maintained. So I just ran into lots of problems with that, but I have all that sorted out now. But as far as growing, I probably doubled the clientele since I bought it up till now. And, enough to have, a couple guys help me out where I probably can't get through it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome to hear. And an important sort of note that I picked out from your explanation there for guys to kind of make note as well is that you mentioned that he had underpriced lawns and that it was miserable. And that is exactly the experience that I have had myself when I underpriced lawns. Is that it just turns that job into something sour that you just do not look forward to doing each week. And it can be difficult, especially if you've priced it yourself and you underbid and it's, you don't want to look like a complete loser and go back to the client and say, you want more money and stuff like that and things like that. So a lot of times in those early years, I would just eat it and, go through the entire season with the, lawn underpriced and stuff like that. And it's some of the things that's led me year after year to make implemented changes. Like when I quote somebody now and I'm on their property, if they're meeting me on property, I never give them the price face to face because it throws me off my game when you're talking to them and, you can't really go through the process of quoting the lawn properly if they're standing beside you and asking you questions and stuff. So I always tell them, I'll send you an email tonight in writing with all the terms and conditions and the pricing. That way I can sit back and take a moment and think about it and really price it properly. And ever since I've done that, I haven't had any issues with underpricing lawns and things like that. As soon as you said it was miserable, I was like, like that's just something that just resonates with me.
There's nothing worse than just not feeling like you're getting paid what you're worth. I mean, there's really no worse feeling going up to a job and just, dreading it. Because every client I've got since I bought the business, I've quoted it exactly how I liked it. And I love going to those properties and mowing them. So
yeah.
It's a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. So This next question is one of my absolute favorites, and it's because every time I ask somebody who like works regular job, shift work, that sort of stuff, I always get the same answer. But when I ask a business owner, the answer is always different. And that, Ryan, for you is, how would you define success?
I think that's an interesting question. For me personally, I'm super family oriented, like with my brothers and sisters. I have a kind of a big family, and for me, I really just want to give a lot of people in my family an opportunity. I think a lot of people in my family, especially like my siblings, my mom, I think they've been dealt pretty bad cards in life, and they haven't had the same opportunities that I've had because I've gotten lucky in a lot of aspects. So for me, I think success would be being able to help them out as much as possible, and giving them like jobs. Like, I think both of my employees are both family, and the job market in my town at least is really horrible. So I've been able to give them work consistently through, you know, what I've done and what I've built through this business. And to me, success is just making sure everyone around me is doing, you know, doing good. And I think that's really all.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. It's you hear about a lot of times with entrepreneurs, and there's like sort of buzzwords and things that go around, and you hear the sort of the buzzword or the saying of like, what's your why are you doing the business, what's your motivating factor? So when you have a motivating factor that isn't sort of just, you know, I want to make money, or I want, you know, to be self-employed, or whatever the case may be, when that motivating factor is reaching into sort of the deepest recesses of your mind in helping your family, like a deeper cause, then it's very difficult not to succeed in that, because that driving factor is so strong.
100%. And also, I mean, I could talk about my mom for probably an entire podcast episode, but she is just probably one of the greatest people, you know, I've ever known. Like, the amount of things she knows how to do is just blows my mind. That's why I've been able to pick up so many odd jobs through the business, like fencing work, all this stuff, just because my mom knows how to do all of that kind of stuff. And she's been able to teach me through the way. And yeah, so through the business, I'm able to get her, you know, a lot of this extra cash because, you know, through my marketing and stuff, I picked up lots of jobs that I've only been able to do because she's been able to help me. And through that, I've also been able to help her, you know, with bills or whatever she needs help with.
That's awesome. Yeah. See, again, that motivating factor, right? To be able to see the resources that you have around you, the people, their skills, and to be able to utilize them. It's pretty crazy. You know, I always say that Jim Rohn quote that I first learned from that franchise system. The main franchisor here used to always say it. And that is, there's acres of diamonds everywhere, meaning that there's work everywhere you look if you know where to look and what to recognize, using, like you're saying, if you got employees or family members or whatever that have certain skills, then there's things, like you said, fence repairs and things like that, that they may know that you yourself may not be comfortable with, but you know, you have that resource of that person that knows how to do that. That's now job opportunities. That's work.
Exactly.
Right. So,
and I've been super, super blessed in that aspect of having a lot of really smart, and capable people around me to be able to help me with a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, to give us a sort of a sense of your business, where it is, all that sort of stuff, everybody knows that listens to the podcast that I do, primarily very small city lawns, dense lawns, things like that. Most of my stuff is all push mow, you know, 21 inch commercial 30. The largest mower I own is a 42 inch mower, a lot of 36 inch walk behind stuff. So what sort of size properties are you maintaining, and what sort of size of equipment are you using?
At the moment, I do mainly smaller to medium sized like residential properties. Okay. I would say that's about it. Where I live, I don't live in a big city, but it's also not, you know, like farm city or anything. It's not super small. So the majority of my properties are just like residential homes. It might take 20, 25 minutes to get done for the most part. I have a couple bigger properties, and I have a couple commercial properties. But other than that, my favorite, I mean, what I like to do are the residential smaller properties. That's what I enjoy most, but I do have kind of a mix. The majority would be the smaller to medium-sized residential houses.
Okay. So what size like mowers and stuff are you using for that?
Yeah, I actually only have one mower at the moment.
Okay.
It's the one that I bought with the business. It's pretty small. It's a 32-inch stand-on. It's a Wright machine. That's the only mower I have. I have a push mower too, but a 32-inch stand-on, it can do just about everything. It can get through the fences, and it can mow just about all the residential properties I have. Perfect.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah,
as definitely. Far as like, I have a couple bigger properties that I'd like to get a bigger mower for because it would save a lot of time. So I'm looking into that this year, but right now it's just that 32-inch Wright.
Nice. Yeah, those are great little mowers to be able to get in if you've got the right properties to be able to do. I had a Exmark Starus 32 for a few years that I was using, but the problem where I live is that there's a lot of hills, which means a lot of times it could be one or two steps to get from like a front yard to a backyard. So then that would cancel out using the stand on. I'd have to go back to using the push mower to get it, you know, down the stairs or whatever the case may be, or the steps and stuff. But if you've got like flat lawns and things like that, then those 32s can do, they're so versatile.
Yeah, I don't think I ever said where I'm from, but I'm from southwest Missouri, and it's very flat. So there's not many hills at all, unless there's little trenches for like water or whatever. So
okay,
everything's super flat.
Oh, awesome! So you're from out where my friend there, you probably know Cameron Duncan from Grassmasters.
Yeah, where is he from? I don't think I know.
Well, he's from, I don't remember the exact part, but he's from Missouri as well.
Oh, there's one other guy from Missouri. I don't remember his name now. I think it's actually Mosuri was his YouTube name. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but.
Yeah, that's him.
Oh, that's who you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's from, I think he's more north.
Oh, okay.
Than me, but yeah, definitely the same type of area. Well, I used to watch him a lot just to, because I was able to actually take a lot of specific information from what he does because we mow in the same kind of grass and area.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a fantastic thing to do. It's something I always recommend to people as well, right? You can get a lot of great general information from guys that you see online, the Brian's Lawn Maintenances and me and things like that, or whoever else is on there. But if you could find somebody specifically in your area, then you're going to pick up a lot of sort of local, tips that are very relevant to where you are. I always tell the funny story about one of the previous guests. When I ask a question about, times you struggled or things or funny things that have happened to you in business, and a local, I think he's up here in Canada, was starting out his business, and he was so used to watching YouTubers in lawn care and all that stuff, so that when he started doing quotes and stuff, and somebody asked him for advice on what to do with the flower beds and stuff, so he started to sell them on pine straw jobs, and they're like, oh, never heard about that, right? And he's like, yeah, like he did this, right? And then so they accepted the job, and then he went to go figure out where he could get some pine straw, and then quickly found out that there is no such thing as pine straw jobs here in Canada. There's no pine straw to buy. There's no, but he just assumed that, hey, it's all the same across everywhere, right? But it's not. It's a regional. There's going to be differences in different areas. So, yeah. So do you offer any services that are not lawn care? You talked about the fencing and stuff like that, but is there like, that sounds like that's maybe like a one-off type thing or stuff like that, that you're utilizing sort of like odd jobs and things, but is there anything that's like not lawn care related that you specifically like advertise?
I advertise, obviously I do leaf cleanup at the end of the year. I also do gutter cleaning. And I have, I mean, my business in the title of my business is landscape and mowing. So I'm definitely open to any type of landscaping services. I'm still pretty new in general as a business, and I don't have a lot of stories of many big landscaping projects yet, but there's been nothing that I've turned down yet when it comes to work. I've done like shrub removals. I've done some installations of like little plants, most things landscaping related, I do offer.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool. That's something I always recommend as well to people when they're starting out. When you're on that teeter totter, when you're starting out in the beginning and you've got more time than you have work to, you know, the larger your scope of work, the more you'll be able to fill in that time. And then later on, as you get busier, then you can hone in on the specific things you want or start setting up multiple divisions to do the other things as well, if that becomes something that you're interested in. For me, it's kind of funny because on my trailer, I've got a whole bunch of services listed that when I started out, and customers will be like, oh, you do Christmas lights. And it's like, yeah, no, that was 15 years ago. Sorry. I'm too busy to do that stuff now, or whatever the case may be. So yeah, kind of interesting. You mentioned you prefer doing the residential stuff. You touched on having some commercial properties. So why is it that you prefer the residential over commercial stuff?
In my experience, commercial properties are never willing to pay enough. I know a lot of people always say, every time I've heard people who say they like commercial properties, it's always usually because they mention that they pay pretty good. Mm-hmm. But I've never, in my experience, have had a commercial property that I was willing to pay enough at all. I can make, in my experience, I can make way more money just doing residential properties than doing these commercial properties. Just in a price mindset. When it comes to working with commercial companies, I've never really had a problem. Everyone's pretty nice and pays on time, but it's just never really been worth it for all the hours or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it always seems I have very similar experiences with mine. Every time I have worked on commercial properties, it's always been, it seems that price is always the motivating factor, being the cheapest price. And that's why I started to just kind of shy away. I still have some, but they are all on my terms. They're the ones that were, the price is the price. And if you don't like it, you can hire somebody else and they stick with me year after year. Yeah, it's one of those things. The one thing I do like about commercial properties is because I'm so not invested in them. When they do come along, I'm more willing to push the envelope with them. I always hear people saying, like, you know, it's always on the commercial properties terms. You have to, you know, net 30 or net 60 days, and they won't give you a credit card on file and all that stuff. And I'm always pushing that envelope going, nope, these are the terms. You get billed at the end of the month to your credit card directly. If you don't like it, find somebody else. And because I'm so uninvested and I don't care about the result, whether I get that property or not, I only get the ones that are willing to accept those terms. So it's one of those things. But I'm like you. I really like the residential stuff.
It seems like everyone's a lot more reasonable when it comes to residential. And I like particularly the residential clients who really want like a nice looking lawn. I get some calls for people who just, they're like, I just need to cut down. I don't want to get fined by the city. And I usually try to stay away from those clients because they usually are the harder ones to work with. But
yeah.
Same with commercial clients. They seem to be a lot of the same way. They just want the cheapest option and they don't really care much about any kind of quality or anything like that. So
yeah, absolutely. So this next question is probably the one that gives people the most pause for thought, where they got to kind of think about it. So I'm going to ask you the question, but we're going to take a quick break and give you some time to think about it. And then when we get back from the commercial breaks, we'll have your answer. So the question for you to ponder while we take our break is, share a time with us you struggled in your business and what you learned or did to overcome it. So we'll get back with your answer right after this. So stay tuned.
At Exmark, we've poured decades of leading-edge engineering and old-fashioned work ethic into our Laser Z, the pioneering commercial zero-turn rider more landscape pros trust. So now you can experience cut quality, performance, comfort, durability, and reliability beyond your wildest dreams. Stop by your local dealer or visit Exmark.com to experience an Exmark Laser Z and the attractive financing offers available now.
Cress is leading the transition from gas-powered lawn equipment for professional use with the industry's first truly game-changing innovation in battery-powered OPE. The Cress 8-Minute Cyber System allows Cress-made 60-volt batteries to fully charge in 8 minutes or less. Now, professional landscapers can replace their gas-powered equipment without sacrificing performance, power, or runtime. And with a full line of equipment benchmarked against gas-powered products, landscapers can finally take charge of their business and make the switch to battery. For more information or to find a dealer near you, visit Cress.com. Cress, we power the professionals.
All right, Ryan, so tell us a time you shared, share with us a time you struggled in your business and what you learned or did to overcome it.
I would say the worst time in my business was really quickly after I bought it. And I started running into a problem where we started getting a lot of rain in my area and all the grass started growing really quickly and I wasn't ready for it. And so by the time I'd get to all these biweekly lawns that we had, they would be, man, sometimes they'd be like a foot tall, like very, very tall. And, they were priced the same as all of the weekly lawns that I had. And so the weekly lawns, I would come back every week and they would never get time to get too tall and I'd be able to keep cutting them. But I'd get to these biweekly lawns and they'd be a foot tall. I'd have to mow them multiple times to get it to look right. I'd be there probably 30 minutes longer. It was just a mess and they were all charged the same price. And at that point is when I realized that, you know, how this payment and how everything was set up just didn't seem right. How the previous owner had everything set up. So at that point I had to make a plan and my temporary fix was that I just messaged all my biweekly clients and I just told them that I had to throw them on a weekly schedule for at least a couple weeks to keep their grass down and maintained. And, I had a couple complaints, nothing really major. Everyone was okay with it. And that was my temporary fix, but long term throughout this, off season, I had new policies and I repriced everybody and I am charging more now for a biweekly service versus the weekly services to make up for the chance that there will be this big tall lawn that's going to take a lot longer. Mm-hmm. And that was the hardest part because I was even having to work extra days because these lawns were taking so long and the four normal days I would work, it was now like 6 days of full mowing days because these lawns were taking double the time because how tall they were getting.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds a lot. You're bringing back so many memories of when I started, all the same sort of pain points, especially here where I'm from in the Pacific Northwest, where, you know, I'm in just outside of Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, but, you know, I'm like 2 hours north of Seattle. So it's, and, you know, Oregon, that sort of thing. It's all that Pacific Northwest. Well, you know, the first thing you think of when you think about this area is rain, because that's what mm-hmm. we get a lot of, right? So I had those growing pains when I started my business. It was the same thing. And when I first started, I was doing like every 2 week cuts, I was doing weekly cuts, I was doing 10 day cuts, all that sort of mix, and quickly learned that that's not profitable. It's not going to work. And for me, because rain is such a normal, regular part. And in fact, when we get into sort of the second month of spring, I always call it hell month because it just grows like crazy, that I had to do a blanket policy where it's weekly only. I don't do biweekly cuts anymore. I call it a weekly as needed service. So basically it follows the seasons. Every client gets a weekly cut until we get into the summer. And then when things kind of slow down, then I'll go to biweekly cuts. And then once the fall hits and the rain starts again, like clockwork in September, then it's back to weekly cuts for everybody. No exceptions. That's how it goes.
Sounds right? Exactly. Sounds exactly like the kind of switch I've been doing. So I'm glad I got to learn it really early because it was a mess. But that sounds exactly like the problem I was facing.
Yeah. And I think once you kind of explain to a customer kind of your reasons for it, it's hard for them to resist it because it's like it's fair. Right? You're not being unfair. It's like you're just kind of following the growth patterns of the lawn, right? For whatever the reason. And if you're going to do a biweekly cut, then you're going to have to charge more because it's more work for that versus a weekly cut, right? If you want to do it that way. What would you say is your favorite thing about being self-employed?
Since I like just business in general so much, I love everything about like branding, marketing, like logistics, like all those things are like, those are my favorite things. Like if I could, obviously I've said already that I'm hiring people, and that's mainly because like I have a super big just company mindset. Like I love the idea of like really focusing my time on, you know, marketing, building like the brand, the business. And I mean, I have really big goals for the business, but I guess my favorite thing about being self-employed is being able to control all those things and be able to manage everything. I mean, that's really what I enjoy about business in general. And the lawn care business is you know, exactly the same, just being able to control that stuff. That's really my favorite part, and it's really fun to me.
Mm-hmm. So you're like me. A person once say to me when I was sort of describing exactly what you just said and kind of telling them my history of starting different businesses and dabbling stuff. And he's like, oh, you love the chase. You love the kind of that build up stage, that beginning, the marketing, the getting things off the ground, the excitement that goes with that and all that sort of stuff. And I was like, yeah, I think you kind of nailed the nail on the head with that one.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you still feel like, I mean, you've been doing it for so long. Do you still feel like that's a part of your day to day anymore, is doing any of that stuff?
It's more refining now, though. It's more, like I say, I go year to year and I'm always learning something. I'm always tweaking sort of terms and conditions like the service policies and things like that, just from scenarios that come up that I didn't expect. Like for a few years, like I was doing the weekly as needed mowing and all that sort of stuff, and that was humming along. And you know, then I add the credit card on file, and that got rid of a bunch of problems of chasing people for money or waiting for checks or whatever the case may be. And then a few years ago, I started running into a problem because I only want to take on weekly clients. I don't want clients that are one-off or temporary sort of things, right? I just want clients who want me for the whole season. So what I started to find was some people who were trying to get around that is that they would hire me in the spring for weekly, but all they were really concerned about was that hell month that I talk about. So they were fine with me doing weekly cutting all through hell month. But as soon as that summer started to hit and started to get warm and lawn started to slow down, then they would let me go and say, oh, you know, we don't need your services anymore. We can handle it from here. And I was like, are you serious? Like, what the heck, right? And I started to think, well, you know, the majority of the calls come in the spring and, you know, I've got a full schedule. So now I'm turning down customers and I'm saying that I'm going to do this person's lawn because, you know, they want to hire me. So I'm invested in them and now they're letting me go after a couple months and now there's no more calls coming in as regularly. So it could take a few months now to fill this spot. So I'm always tweaking that way where like last year, then I was like, okay, it happened enough times with some new clients that I was like, okay, now we're going to put a cancellation policy in. Not because I want to charge people cancellation policies, but I just want to deter those people that are just looking for the 1 month, and it worked. Got no more people hiring me just for that and going because they know ahead of time that, hey, it's the whole season. Otherwise, you're going to get charged cancellation policy if you cancel midway. So that's what it's more about now is kind of the systems, refining it, making it as efficient as possible, everything from figuring out when I'm driving to a lawn and what's the best side of the road to park on. Should I service this lawn if I'm driving on the same street back and forth? Is it better to service this lawn on my way to the next lawn? Or is it better when I come back, you know, for traffic and things like that, if I have to park on the road? It's like all that, like what's the best way to put the route
optimizing
to
me? Optimizing everything.
Yeah. And that's what it's more about for me now is that I love
that's what
that
I love. Yeah. That sounds exactly like that's every bit of what I love to do is getting everything just right. So,
yeah. And using equipment for that, utilizing, certain, mowers and things like that. You know, if I can get a little bit bigger mower and fit it in here and cut a few hours off. Like I tell a story about when I went to like using commercial 30 mowers, still push mower, but a 30 versus a 21. And it literally cut 2 hours off of my day doing the same. And my, I remember coming home one day and my wife happened to be home and she's like, what are you doing? You're using the washroom? I said, no, I'm done. She's like, what do you mean you're done? It's only 3 o'clock. I said, no, I'm done. she's like, how did you do that? Awesome. You're usually done at 5. I said, just the mower. Having the difference of having those, that 30 inch deck versus the 21 cut 2 hours off the day. I was like amazed.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, well, you can now keep it at working till 3, or now you can add more clients and still work till 5, but now you're making more money or whatever the case may be. Right. So yeah, that sort of stuff, the tweaking, refining, all that sort of things, finding those kind of ways to work smarter, not harder. Mm-hmm. So what ways do you say, or would you say you market your business, and maybe share your number one marketing tip?
I've listened to a lot of these and sadly, I don't have anything new to add. I would say number one's got to be Google My Business. I mean, everyone says it, but I think they say it for a reason. It's really the best. If you have a local service business of any capacity, you're never going to probably have a better way of marketing than having a Google page. That's definitely the best way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And it's crazy, crazy, crazy that it's free.
Yeah. Just making sure, because if you think about it, if you have a customer, anybody in your area, if they need something, if they need anything, they're going to go to their phone, go to the browser, and they're going to look up blank near me, or they're going to look up, that's exactly what they'll look up. And the first thing that's going to pop up are those Google listings. And if you're ranking high, that's where you're going to get all your calls from, really.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's fantastic. So it's, yeah, even though it's, you don't have anything new to add, it's still fantastic hearing somebody else saying it, because it just drives that point home for the new guys starting out. That is the one thing you need to get on right away, is a Google business listing.
I would add, I do like to take marketing a step further. So if anybody is interested, really, if they wanted a number two, I would say, pick any pay per lead kind of software, like program. Like I know Nextdoor offers a really good program for getting leads, and I would say under Google My Business, just any kind of pay per lead system, those are probably going to be the best bet. That's probably the only two ways I could imagine would be worth doing as a lawn care company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's another great tip to look into. One of the most common questions that I get in my business is, what do I do in the wintertime? So is there a winter or off season in your business? And if so, what do you do in the winter?
Well, this is actually the end of my first winter. So I didn't have a lot to do. I really just picked up a lot of odd jobs. That's where I was talking about my mom really coming in and helping me with a lot of odd job things. So mm-hmm. I know we built a really big chain link fence for someone's property, and that took a couple weeks. So that was a pretty big job. I don't do snow removal yet. I don't really think I want to, but it's definitely not something I offer right now. As far as anything else, just really whatever, if I get calls, I'll answer them and I'll see what they need. And if it's something I think that we can handle and we have the skill set, I'll take it. But I definitely don't advertise anything during the winter specifically.
Okay. Okay. What are your future plans or goals?
Well, I definitely want to, I think everyone has really big goals generally. But it's all just words, but I'd really like to get this business to the point where I could maybe branch it off and bring it somewhere else. Kind of not really a franchise. It would be a franchise, but it'd be myself. My best friend lives in Florida, and I go up there every winter, and I usually stay a month or two with him, and just because his parents are super nice and I always help out down there. And in Florida specifically, the grass never stops growing. It's mm-hmm. yearly service. And it'd be really cool to maybe get my business here to the point where my mom or somebody could take over and maybe manage it and keep it running here and keep maybe my brothers employed and they could always have work and keep that here and maybe bring a branch of it to Florida and start it there where it could be a yearly lawn maintenance. And I think it could do really well in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a cool future plan. This reminds me of Corey Ballard, who I've had on as a guest as well. A lot of people know from Ballard Equipment, and he started his business when he was a kid in school, having guys go out mow lawns while he would go be at school, and then got into it and started that his brand Perfect Cut, and has that in multiple states.
That's definitely something I would like to get into. It's hard to say now because I'm so new into it, but since I have those business aspirations and it's less of like the lawn care passion, it's more of like passion for business in general. Those are definitely big goals for me and things that I'd like to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Again, you sound so familiar to me. it's like listening to a younger version of myself. I used to always say, I don't really care what I'm doing as long as I'm doing it, for myself under my own business, which is why I tried so many different things until I found one that I liked and stuck. Again, it wasn't that real huge passion for lawn care, although I liked it and that was part of it. Like I did it and I enjoyed it and it kind of fit my personality and attention span doing small residential lawns and all that sort of stuff. I really enjoyed it. But it wasn't so much, going out with a plan of, I want to start a lawn care business from the beginning. It was just, I want to start a business, whatever that is.
That does sound a lot like what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
I know it's only been a year, so you may not have an answer for this, but is there a weirdest thing or a funny thing or something that's happened to you during your first year of business?
I did have a really, really angry customer, and that was a pretty big deal. I'd never dealt with something like that before, but
okay.
It was a one-off mow. It was a call I got. It was actually the friend of a client I had, and the friend was willing to pay for her to get her lawn cut, and they were both older women, and her friend had called me saying that her friend was going to pay to get her lawn cut. And so I went over there and I got my mower out and everything. And I started mowing the lawn and, I could get into it all, but she was just very, I think she was just an unhappy person. Mm-hmm. I would say that would probably explain it in general, but, she came out many times and would complain and, she would get mad at me, like yelling kind of mad, like not like little bits. She was definitely, she would yell, and that was I wish I could have recorded it like a body cam or something, because it was really really insane. And I'd never dealt with something through every I've worked many customer service jobs, and I'd never dealt with somebody like that, because I literally did nothing wrong at that property, and she just was super upset about a lot of things, and I had to end up just telling her that I'll refund the money, and unfortunately I'm not going to continue mowing your property. And I went and tried to give the money back to her friend, but her friend told me to keep it and she's sorry. And that was just an insane day. That definitely was the most insane thing I ever had to deal with. And I couldn't imagine something like that would come up again. That was a one-off, really, really crazy experience.
That sounds pretty crazy. Like, sounds like she was having a bad day or something, maybe just wasn't right with her or something to be going on.
I would say it's more probably the second thing you said. Because there were things, she just started lying by the end. I mean, the first thing she came out to say was, I used my 32-inch mower and I went through her gates to her backyard, and she came out and she told me, if I'm going to go through my gate with her mower, I better know that I'm responsible if I break it and I'm going to have to pay for it. So she already came off a bit of aggressive, but I reasoned with her and I was like, okay, I understand. I'll go through your back gate, which is a double wide, and I'll use that from now on so I don't risk anything. And she said you better, but I didn't I didn't keep going. I didn't argue. And then when I had left her backyard, I went through her back double gates and I drove all the way to her front yard. And then she came out trying to tell me that I left through her single wide. It was just bizarre. It was just a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I think she was just, I don't know. I can't tell what she was trying to accomplish, but she was very, very angry. Maybe she was just trying to get a free cut or something. I don't know. But
some clients are, yeah, you just run across some that are like that. I had one once that, like I said, I live in like a hilly area, and this particular property was in a, it was kind of positioned like on the end of a, I don't know, it's not quite a cliff, but a hill. So the back lawn was a lot lower than where the front lawn was. There was actually probably about 15 or 20 stairs on one side, concrete stairs that went down to the back lawn. And I was using a 21-inch mower. But on the other side of the front lawn, there was another gate. And on that side, there was this gradual slope that went from the front all the way to the back lawn, and it was all gravel. And so I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to obviously go down that side because I could just open the gate. And
yeah.
And they went off the handle because I went on that side, and I was leaving rut marks in their gravel. I'm like, dude, it's gravel. Like, right. And he's like, you better fix that and stuff. I'm like, and I didn't have anything with me other than the mower and stuff at the time. And I was like, I can bring a metal rake the next time and rake it smooth if you like. Oh, you better, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you literally want me to carry a commercial 21-inch mower that's like 200 pounds down your 15, 20 steps on that side when there's a perfectly like gradual ramp on this side of gravel going from the front? Like, it just made no sense, right? So I was like, that was the last time I mowed it. I was like, nope.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask. I didn't know what you'd...
Yeah, I was like, no, there's no way I'm going to be carrying the mower down all those stairs when you got, you know, the ramp on this side.
No amount of money is worth, you know, dealing with anything like that. So
no, and a lot of times with me, with those types of properties, customers will try to get me to use their mower in the back. And they'll be, we'll just leave our mower back here and you can use it, right? But sometimes it'll be like a corded electric mower and stuff. It's like, I'm not messing with extension cords and your mower and all that sort of stuff on, you know, things, right? I've got commercial equipment for a reason. It's because of the conditions and the rain and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, you get customers that are just sometimes out to just a little bit unreasonable. If you were to start your business all over again or go through that experience that you did of kind of buying the other guy's business and all that sort of stuff, what is one thing that you would do differently?
I would probably have I probably would have bought the business for less. Looking back at it, I probably would have thought about it more. I mean, I thought about it a lot, but there was definitely some holes in my knowledge at the time when I offered him the price. Mm-hmm. So that I would have started off probably doing that differently. Other than that, I wouldn't say there's much. Everything that's I've needed to change so far, I have changed and done it right. Thanks to people like you and other people who make content on it, because I'm super lucky starting now because there's so much resources online when it comes to, you know, how to do things right. And so I got really fortunate to be listening to things like this and doing research. So I kind of know, you know, I kind of have like the 15 years of experience you guys have kind of just given to me for free online. So it's like, I'm able to do a lot of these things correctly, such as like pricing things right and, you know, doing weekly cuts, all things that maybe you have to learn the hard way. And I kind of got lucky that there's people like you and Brian Lawn Maintenance that give all this stuff out for free and really help people out who are starting out. So I wouldn't say I've really made any huge mistakes that I'd go back and redo yet. Hopefully never, but honestly, I just, maybe the price tag I spent on the business is the only big regret at the moment.
Okay. Yeah. It's just one of those things, right? And even then I always tell people, whether it's something like that, that, you know, maybe you paid too much for a business that you're buying, or, you know, you underpriced jobs or whatever the case may be, to just kind of learn from it and move on. Right. That's the most important thing, is to try to not to repeat those, again, to learn from that stuff. It becomes easier. But it's one of those things, right? I always call it, whatever you're doing, there's always a tuition to be paid, right? Whether you go to university and pay tuition or whether you go and start a business, you're going to be paying the tuition of life, right? Learning those things.
Yeah.
There's always a tuition to pay, but hopefully you've learned the lessons that tuition paid for. And then you go on from there and just, you know, move on, keep moving forward with it.
Of course, yeah.
So what would you say is one thing that people don't realize about running a lawn care business?
Oh, man. I would say people don't realize, and this could be specific to me. I don't talk to a lot of people who do lawn care. Honestly, you might be the first person I've talked to who owns a lawn care company, but I would say people don't understand, you know, how much work you're putting in when you're not mowing. I mean, all the time, at least for me specifically, I mean, the amount of time I've spent building my website and, you know, doing all the Google stuff and updating, like, you know, spreadsheets, I mean, and just thinking about the business, I mean, you're spending a lot more time than I think people expect. And it's a lot harder work than people expect, and it's a big responsibility. So I wouldn't say it's necessarily a walk in the park. If I can make the amount of money I make doing this, you know, working a job, maybe that would be better, you know, because the amount of like mental space that it takes up.
Yeah.
And I would say it's not for everybody, but it's a wonderful thing, especially if it's something you enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, it definitely does consume your life at times. Can be 24 hours a day of thinking about it. You wake up in the morning thinking about it, go to bed thinking about it, especially during the busy season when things are rocking and rolling and calls are coming through and you got quotes to catch up on and all that sort of stuff. It's 24 hours a day, 24/7 that it can happen. But it's part of the process.
A lot of people like to say that being self-employed means, I feel like some people have a feeling that it means that you get to like work less hours, or I know people say, you know, you work your own hours, but a lot of the time you're working a lot more hours than you would just clocked in somewhere and clocked out. Because when you clock out, you get to actually clock out mentally too from whatever job you have. You know, there's no clocking out of this kind of thing.
No. So. And that's why it's important too, to find something that you resonate with, something that you enjoy. And for me, luckily, that was lawn care. It sort of fit my personality, fit, you know, the parts of it. So it makes it enjoyable. I would say the same thing with YouTube and, you know, the content creation, podcasts, things like that I've been doing the last 8 years. I would say I probably work more hours on that than I do on the lawn care business at this point. But it's one of those things that it's totally true when they say, do what you love and you never work a day in your life, because that's how it feels. Like I put hours and hours and hours into this stuff now, and it's like, it's just all fun for me. It's all joy doing it. Right. So it's one of those things. I don't even look at or keep track of the time, because it's just, I enjoy doing it. So if you can do that with your business, then that's the best of both worlds. Right.
I completely agree. Yeah. It's been my favorite thing ever. I've super enjoyed it, but I do think people underestimate how much work really goes into it until they really get in there.
Yep, absolutely. So we're coming down to the last two questions for you. So this next one is another one of my favorite questions. So that is, share your best piece of advice with those just starting out in the business. You know, if somebody were to come up to you that you know, that you like, and you only want to see the best for, you want to see them succeed, and they came up to you, whether it's like a family member or something like that, and they said, Ryan, I'm thinking about starting my own lawn care business. You know, what's your best piece of advice for me? What would you say?
I'd probably just say to just never undervalue yourself, probably. Mm-hmm. I think it's so easy to be desperate. And I know a lot of people's situation does call desperation, you know, if you're struggling to pay bills and stuff, it's easy to take any job at any price. But I think it's really important to, never work for less than you're worth. And, I think I realized that early, because I'm definitely not the cheapest lawn care, you know, company in my area, but I still get lots of business because, I value, you know, what I'm worth, and I show the quality when I'm done. And I think that's super important because, if you're always doing work at your own value, you're always going to enjoy it because you're never going to feel like, you could have, be doing better.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, great answer. I'm going to throw in an extra question before I ask you the last question. And that is, growing up, what was, your dream job as a kid? What was it that you thought you were going to be, like the next Tom Brady, or you know, whatever the case may be?
Well, through elementary school and middle, I think just through elementary school, my mom always wanted me to be a doctor. So, but I think every little kid either has like a policeman, a fireman, or a doctor. So I think there's always one of those things. But I think I always wanted to be a doctor, and then in like middle school, I really, really wanted to do something musically, like become maybe a singer or something like that. Cause I've always been super passionate about music, and that still stays true to today. And through high school, I still, you know, kept up with the music and all that stuff. And, I think it started to fade a little bit, like the beginning of high school. And I then wanted to go to college to be a computer engineer just because I was kind of, my family had kind of pressured me into thinking that, you know, college is right and, you know, I should probably go to college. But, you know, through my own research, and I personally am not a huge advocate for college unless you really have a job that's going to require it. I definitely thought that I could have, you know, done something without college. So then I started getting really into business, and I watched a lot of big people who, you know, have billion-dollar businesses. I listened to tons of lectures and podcasts, and I got really involved with just business in general. And pretty much from there on, like halfway through high school, I was just trying to figure out, you know, what I'm going to do, how I'm going to, you know, start something up. And from there, I got hit with the lawn care opportunity, you know, and that's what I'm going with now. And it's all worked out for me, thankfully.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's so fun to hear those sort of initial things as a kid when you're growing up and stuff. Always reminds me of my nephew. I remember somebody asking him, I think it was his dad asking him when he was little, you know, what do you want to do when you're older? And he would say he wanted to be a garbage man. And everybody kind of looked at him like, a garbage man? Like, what the heck? Like, how are you coming? And he kind of looked at everybody like just with this like puzzled look on his face, like everybody was crazy, and was like, why do you want to do that? And he's like, because you get to ride on the back of the truck. Duh. Just like that kid mentality of like, what's finding the joy in something as simple as being a garbage man and hanging out on the back of the truck while it's going down the road. So it's kind of funny to hear those initial things. So last question, and that is, how can people follow you online?
I got an Instagram. It's just Zimmer Landscape, pretty simple. I do have a YouTube channel for it, and I think it's also just Zimmer Landscape. I have a Facebook page. It's Zimmer Landscape and Mowing. And I have a website. It's zimmerlandscape.com. Pretty much Zimmer Landscape and Mowing or Zimmer Landscape, you should be able to find me on just about everything at that handle. I do have plans on doing something social media wise, probably here soon. But I don't have anything really, I don't have any media to consume. So no one's really going to find much at the moment, but, maybe at the end of this year, I can come on for another interview during the next winter. And hopefully by then I could have some, content up and maybe start something like that.
Yeah. Awesome. So thank you so much for, coming on to the show. I really appreciate it.
No, I appreciate it too. It's a great talk.
Awesome. So there you have it, Lawn Care Nation. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that value-packed interview episode with Ryan Zimmerman from Zimmer Landscape and Mowing LLC. I'll put some links in the podcast show notes to some of the places that he mentioned that you can follow him online. So that's it for this one, guys. Here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.